It's Fireaway Friday on Today's Issues.
Welcome to Today's Issues. Join us for the next hour as we offer a Christian response to the issues of the day. Now your hosts, Marvin Sanders and Miki Addison.
Well, good morning, everyone. And this is that special time of the month that we call Fireaway Friday, first Friday of every month. Miki, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here. We're talking about prayer today, right?
That's the subject for the day. I was just thinking a month or so ago, how much prayer is enough? I always hear, pray without ceasing. Okay, if I pray without ceasing, do I need to get other people praying for the same things that I am? Or does God hear what I have to say? And does he need for anybody else to pray? And how many of us does he need to pray for any one thing? If he's saying no, I mean, I've heard sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no, and sometimes he says, wait, okay, I'm praying for something, and he says no. Am I going to be like a child for the rest of my life? Is like that little child goes back to daddy and says, daddy, please, no. Daddy, please, no. Well, I'm not hearing the no.
Sure.
But, you know, anyway, those
These
kinds
are all
of
good
questions.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to talk about that today with our resident expert.
Marvin, how are you?
Ray
I'm
Pritchard.
Good hey, to
Ray.
See you again.
Good yeah. to see you.
Yeah. And tell you what we're going to do today. We're going to open up the phone lines. If you have questions or comments about prayer, we ask you to call 1-800-844-8893. And to the best of his ability, which is pretty good ability, Ray is going to answer those questions.
Give us some insight. We're going to work together on this.
We are going to work together.
A joint project today on prayer.
1-800-844-8893. That's the number to call. And everyone who calls today is going to get a copy of The Shepherd's Prayer. It's a new little, I guess you'd call it a novella, a little Christmas novella.
Sure.
It's written by Richard M. Berry, The Shepherd's Prayer, a Christmas novel. And just in time for Christmas.
There you go.
That's good.
You can keep it for yourself or you can gift it to someone else.
That's right. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Maybe you're thinking, well, I don't like to read. Well, if you don't like to read, I'm sure you know somebody who does like to
well,
read.
Give
them a Christmas gift.
Read it and then give it as a Christmas gift.
There
right.
you go.
There you go.
Right. It's hardback, too. Like Tim says. Like Tim says. Anyway, we are on the subject of prayer, Ray. Any first thoughts before we open up the phone lines and invite – I mean, our listeners have already been invited to call, but before we talk to them.
It seems to me that when we talk about prayer – we have to begin by saying that there's no part of the Christian life that's more important, more necessary, and for many of us, more difficult to do. I was a pastor for 27 years, and I learned early on, and was never really proven wrong about this, that when you announce a new prayer initiative in the church, you'll normally get hundreds of people to respond. When you say, let's pray, everybody wants to sign up. Nothing is easier to start than a prayer movement. Nothing is harder to keep going. So prayer is both a burden, a challenge, and a great blessing from the Lord. There are some people for whom prayer comes very easily. Mm-hmm. Others of us, and I have to say I probably fall into that category, I continue to work at it. And if you said to me, well, after being a pastor for these years and being a Christian for many years, is prayer easy for you? Most of the time, it is not. And yet I know I'm a better person. The world's a better place if I pray.
Ray, Tim wanted me to ask you this question.
Okay.
So I'm going to go ahead and ask it. And I'm asking for Tim and I'm asking for me,
sure.
too. I'm sure Miki doesn't do this, but Tim and I, sometimes when we pray, our mind wanders.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we'll be in the middle of a prayer and all of a sudden, we'll remember something that we need to do, or we'll remember a telephone call that we're supposed to make, and or we'll remember that the game has started.
Mm-hmm.
Or some those are the ones that really embarrass me when I'm praying and I can't get my mind off of the big game or off of the shopping that I need to do. Those inconsequential things. Do you ever do that?
Oh, basically all the time. Sometimes when I was pastor, we would challenge people to pray for an hour. And by the way, to all of our viewers and all of our listeners, that's a wonderful thing to do. But I tell you, if you've never done it, it's not as easy as you might think. For instance, many of us, Miki, have had this experience. Mm-hmm. We're going to pray for an hour. And so we get in our, quote, prayer closet, wherever our prayer place is, you know. So we start to pray. And we pray for all of the requests of our family. We pray for all of our personal needs. We pray for the pastor of the church. We pray for our missionaries. We pray for all of our friends. And then we pray for all the missionaries in the whole world. And we look up, and 6 minutes has gone off the clock. Yeah. And we go, what am I supposed to do with the other 54 minutes?
Sure. Right.
So yes, it's very easy to begin to pray and get distracted or to find it's more difficult. I would just say this. Prayer is spiritual warfare.
Yeah. And one of the things that I do, and tell me if this is okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We've been commanded to pray.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm praying. Sometimes I'll take my Bible with me, and I'll just sit there with my Bible, and I'll pray. And sometimes mm-hmm. I'll ask God something or say something that is worshiping Him.
Yes.
And then I'll read a psalm, or I'll read a passage of Scripture, and then I'll go back to praying again. Is that the same as praying?
I think that's probably maybe the very best way to pray, to take the Word of God and to let it warm your heart. George Mueller of Bristol, the great, famous prayer warrior, prayer saint, renowned prayer saint of the 1800s, in his journals, he would say things like, I opened the Bible today and began to read in the book of Isaiah, and I read until my heart was warmed before the Lord, mm-hmm. and then I began to pray. So I think the idea of going from the Word to prayer and back to the Word and back to prayer and into times of meditation, I think that's a great way to pray. Don't you, Miki?
Yeah, I agree. I have found that there are times if I can get past that moment of, okay, now what do I do? If I continue to press and maybe begin to worship the Lord, or maybe mm-hmm. like Marvin is saying, pray the Psalms, pray the Scriptures.
Ooh, that's
I've
good.
Found that there is a greater anointing for prayer where then I'm able to press further and maybe meet my hour.
So, yeah, you know, and I think that's a great point. If you're going to pray for an hour, you're not cheating if you're reading the Word of God.
Sure.
it's God's Word. How can that be cheating? So whatever time you have, and most of us may not have an hour, you take some time in the Word and you meditate. Oh, by the way, let me ask you guys a question. Okay. When I pray and it's in private, I rarely close my eyes. Is that cheating? Is that cheating? That's what I want to know.
Now that you mention it, when I pray, now that I think about it, I don't always close my eyes either.
Okay, Miki, what's the answer here?
It depends on what I'm praying about. Mm. It depends on how emphatic I am or how emotional I am at that moment. But do you have to close your eyes?
You know, the Bible does not give us a stated posture for prayer. In fact, in the Bible, you see that they prayed sometimes standing up.
Sure.
Sometimes prostrate before the Lord, sometimes with head bowed. Often in the Old Testament, as I read it, my impression is that that these holy men of God would stand, would lift their hands up, mm-hmm. and with their eyes open, would talk to God in heaven. Mm-hmm. And I think the rule of thumb is do whatever works for you, because prayer is not a checklist of things. Do this, do this, do this, and then your prayer gets through. It's talking to God. Mm. And so sometimes your eyes are open, sometimes they're closed.
I'm really glad that you said that, Ray, because I think a lot of times that we have grown up believing that there is a certain format for prayer, and that if you don't hit it just right, you've mm-hmm. somehow been ineffective in reaching God. And I'm glad that you said that, because I think that will release a lot of people from this kind of condemnation. Well, I didn't pray for an hour. What if you want to pray longer than an hour or shorter than an hour?
You know, if we just ask our listeners, how many of you feel completely satisfied with your, quote, prayer life? Mm. I mean, who would answer yes to that question, Marvin?
Marvin.
No. No, I am not satisfied with my prayer life. Okay, so the next thing you need to say to me is, well, do something about it and do better.
Sure.
Do more.
Well, but, you know, isn't that really like asking, are you completely satisfied in your role as a husband or in your role as a father? Are you completely satisfied that in every relationship of your life you are where you're supposed to be? The Christian life is a journey.
That's right.
We're not going to arrive until we get to heaven.
I agree.
We invited you on to preach, not to meddle.
I know. And the preacher's gone to meddling here.
Yeah, but our telephone number is 1-800-844-8893. 1-800-844-8893. Still a couple of lines available if you call right now. But let's go to our callers.
Right. All right, we've got Linda calling from Richmond, Virginia. Linda, are you there? Linda?
Yes, hello.
Yeah, go
Hi,
ahead.
Linda.
You have a question?
I do. Can you hear me all right?
Yes.
Okay, great.
We got it.
God bless you, and Merry Christmas to you all,
Linda?
And everyone listening. My question is regarding prayer. I have recently moved to a very small town, and as such, I've been visiting some different churches. One church in particular that I visited a couple Sundays ago said something that really fit well in my spirit, and I wanted to ask you about that. First of all, regarding prayer, I will often, the Bible says, pray without ceasing, and I will often fast and pray. And I've done so with tremendous answers from God. Sometimes yes, sometimes no, sometimes wait. But very powerful every time I add the fasting and prayer. And sometimes I will pray and I will fast and pray for days about a particular situation. And this pastor's wife, they were having a prayer service. And what they were going to do is they were putting a big, like, glass jar up on the podium there in front of the sanctuary. And they were having people write down their prayer on a piece of paper. And what she said was to bring your prayer up, drop it in the jar, pray about it the one time, and then don't pray about it anymore. Because if you pray about it again, it's a sign that you don't have faith that God's going to answer you. And it didn't sit well within my spirit, and I kind of wanted your opinion. Where is that model coming from? Is that biblical? And I just kind of wanted your opinion on that.
Well, I think, Linda, number one, that the idea of taking the prayers and writing them down and putting them in a jar so that you can see the requests of the people, that part of it is a very good thing. The other part, however, I think lacks biblical foundation. And in fact, I think it probably goes against human psychology. Hmm. Jesus said, ask and you shall find, or ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. And in the Greek, that's present tense. It's ask, ask, and keep on asking. Hmm. Seek, seek, and keep on seeking. And most importantly, knock, knock, and keep on knocking. I would actually argue the reverse, that to pray repeatedly about something is a sign of faith that God is going to answer. It's not a sign of unbelief. It's a sign that you've got a big issue in your life, you've got a real concern, and you're coming to the one place in all the universe where you can get an answer.
Yeah, I agree. And I would just like to say to Linda, you can go and read Luke chapter 18 and read verses 1 through 9, I would say. And you will see Jesus speaking there, given a model on how we should always pray and persist in prayer. So I don't think that that would be accurate to say if you go back to God asking him on the same matter over and over that you don't believe that he will answer. So I would encourage you to read Luke chapter 18 as the basis for what Ray is saying.
That's a great passage there. That's the widow who comes to the unjust judge.
That's right.
And she he says, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it.
That's
but
right.
She kept coming back and she kept coming back. And finally, even that unjust judge gave in. And he's not saying God is like an unjust judge. He is saying that if an unjust judge on earth can be persuaded by persistence, how much more will our Heavenly Father, who actually loves us,
that's right,
he's on our side.
That's right,
Ray. He will respond to our repeated requests. And, well, that's a great thing. So don't feel bad about praying about what's on your heart. Bring it to the Lord over and over and over again.
Linda, thanks for your call.
Okay, well, let's go to Nathaniel. He's in Lake Charles, Louisiana. Nathaniel, are you there?
Yeah.
Go ahead. You have a question or a comment?
I have a comment. Good morning to y'all.
Good morning.
Favorite movie of mine, Rudy. It's a football movie.
Right.
not on the show. But in that movie, there's two lines that stick with me, and it's, we pray, and God answers his time, and there is a God, and I'm not him. But through that movie, he never gave up, and that's what we must not do on our prayer, is you don't give up.
I think maybe he went out of a, sounds like he's on a cell phone or something, but we got the key of it, that there is a God. That's the famous line from Rudy, son, the priest says to Rudy when he wants to know, am I going to make the Notre Dame football team? Son, I've been a priest for 35 years, and I only know two things. There is a God, and I'm not him.
Right.
Well, that's foundational to prayer, isn't it? That we do the praying persistently, repeatedly, in faith, believing, and God does the answering. In his own time, in his own way, according to his own will. And I've always thought, if we do our part, God will always do his.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Rudy was one of my favorite movies, too, as a matter of fact. And you know what I appreciated about, off the subject, just a little bit, what I appreciated about that movie that most people would not say amen to me, there was some profanity in the movie, which I did not appreciate. Mm-hmm. I did not appreciate that. But at least the producers of the writer of the movie made a point of pointing out to the person who was using profanity that it was wrong to take the Lord's name in vain, and that cleaned up the cleaned up the language for the rest of the movie. I thought that was
a wonderful,
a good observation. Yeah.
How about Christine in Richmond, Karen? Christine? Do you have a question or comment?
Yes.
Go ahead, Christine. Fire away.
I have a comment. I wanted to say two things. I work at a job where I can't just, like, get on my knees and pray all day long, but I feel that I talk to God all day long. You see? So praying without ceasing, you can walk with him sitting in the chair next to you or at your desk or wherever you have to be. Because no matter what you go through, somebody could be looking you in the face and saying something evil, but inside you're saying, God, deflecting that evil thing by talking to God inside your heart. Okay? That's one thing I'm going to share. The other thing is, 20 years ago, I was diagnosed with cancer. Told by the doctors that I wouldn't live for more than 5 years. It's now been 20 years, almost 21, and I did not stop praying about healing until God spoke to me and said, I am the Lord that healeth thee, and they stopped the cancer treatment, and I haven't had to have any more treatment or tests or anything for that cancer, and now I'm blessed with 16 grandchildren, and I have a birthday every year.
Well, praise the Lord.
Thank God. It's good to hear a testimony of answered prayer like that.
Yes.
And we hope you have many more years of good health. God bless you. Thanks for sharing.
And Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you, too. Thank you.
Our number is 1-800-844-8893. Miki, who's next?
Let's go to Amber in Minneapolis. Amber, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead. You have a question?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. I'm a mail carrier, and I'm walking around all day, so I'm praying. I'm talking. If prayer is talking to God, and I'm doing that all day long. I listen to this radio station, and when a prayer request comes up, I immediately go right to that. Is that considered prayer?
Absolutely. You're talking to God. You know, we had the earlier phone caller brought up the whole issue of what does it mean to pray without ceasing. And you could apply that in a very heavy-handed way just to make yourself feel very guilty if you're not with your head bowed, walking around, your hands folded, verbally praying 24 hours a day. Mm-hmm. I think it's probably, Paul means something like this, to live in such a relationship with God that you are constantly in contact with him so that prayer is easy and natural. I'm sort of just thinking this out loud here. It's sort of like being in good terms inside a marriage relationship.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm on good terms with my wife, I'm not talking to her 24 hours a day. But if things are what they're supposed to be inside our marriage, She can talk to me anytime she wants.
Right.
She can call me on my cell phone. She can say, honey, how are you doing? I'm always glad to see her because the relationship is what it's supposed to be.
And that's an excellent analogy. I was thinking of my own relationship with my wife. Even when we aren't talking at the moment and she's in another room, there is a sense of presence.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I am aware, always aware of her presence. I'm
sure.
always, and she's aware of my presence.
Yep.
We know that all we have to do is say something, and the other one would respond.
That's right.
So well, you know, I mean, if you're married, you've had the situation where you're in a car together. At least I've had it with my wife and been married 35 years where we're driving down a road together, and we're not even talking. We're just in the car together. I'll start thinking of a question, and before I can say it, she'll answer it.
Wow.
I'll start thinking of a song, and before I can start singing it, she'll start singing it. I ask her how she does that, and she says, if I told you, you wouldn't understand. And I think that's a good metaphor for prayer.
Yeah.
To live in that relationship with the Lord, that it doesn't feel awkward
right.
to suddenly say, Lord, I'm bringing this to you. He's not far away. To walk with him in that kind of mm-hmm. closeness.
And I think we all know when we have moments in our lives where we need to sit aside some time and reconnect with the Lord. I think mm-hmm. we all know when we've kind of, yeah, we've been praying while washing the dishes, which is what I do. Mm-hmm. But now it's like, and using the marriage analogy,
yes.
my husband will, I may have a time where I say, you know what? We need some quality time. Let's sit down and let's talk. And I think that we do that in our relationship with the Lord. We'll sit down and say, you know what, Lord, I have some things that are heavy on my heart, and I'm going to talk to you about those things. But it doesn't cancel out day-to-day walking with the Lord and talking to him on a daily basis.
It's all about the attitude and yeah. about the heart,
yes.
isn't it?
It really is. And thank you for your call. Thanks very much. Who's next?
Okay, how about Keith in Richmond, Virginia? Keith, are you there?
Yes, good morning.
Hi, Keith.
I was calling in comment or response to Linda, who called in a few minutes ago, also from Richmond. She was trying on new churches, she said, and to write down a prayer and put it in a jar and don't pray anymore about it. And I may be wrong, but I do believe there may be some scriptural basis for that, because I thought somewhere in New Testament it speaks about, and I want to say it was St. Paul wrote, about don't pray with mindless repetition. And I was just wondering if the pastor who was organizing that, if that is what he had or she had in mind, with regards to, you know, make that one prayer, turn it over to God, and don't pray about it anymore.
Excellent question, Ray.
That actually comes from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus said, when you pray, don't be like the pagans because they think they're going to be heard because of their many words. And when Keith said mindless repetition, that's exactly what Jesus had in mind. The word there is batalogeo, which means from pagan rituals, people who think just by repeating, okay, in modern terms, a mantra, mm-hmm. who think, okay, bata, like saying bata, bata, bata. If just by saying a meaningless word over and over again, somehow the doors of heaven will swing open to you. And Jesus said, no, it's not just repeating words for word's sake. So in that sense, if your heart is completely satisfied, if the burden is lifted when you pray one time, then you don't have to pray mm-hmm. another time. But let me say this, on the other hand, when my children are sick,
sure.
when my wife is not doing well, when a loved one has cancer, I am going to bring that before the Lord over and over and over again.
I would also not agree that it's necessary to pray or to pray once and then never pray about it again. But perhaps that pastor in that church is trying to teach people that God does hear your prayers.
Absolutely,
you do not
Absolutely.
You do not have to think that God did not hear your prayer. So lay it on the altar, walk away from it knowing that your Father has heard you. Is that
so
possible?
Maybe an exercise in faith, because at the end of the passage that we use with the persistent widow, Jesus says that when the Son of Man comes back to the earth, will he find faith on the earth? And that's the question. Maybe that pastor's trying to teach to exercise faith.
Yeah. Well, let's go to our next caller. Who would that be?
That's Julie in Jonesboro, Arkansas. Julie, are you there?
Julie, we need you.
Hi, Julie.
Hi, Julie.
Hello. My question is, how do you pray? You know, I was raised in a church.
Mm-hmm.
but I don't think I've ever really learned how to pray. I quit going to church when I got married to my husband because he didn't go to church. So I need to know how to start it. I've been listening to your program for about 3 months now, and I realized that I got to get back into church. I got to get, you know, him back into my heart somewhere or another.
Good.
So, Miki, what do you say?
I would say go to your father with the condition of your heart. And just like how what you just told us, I want to reconnect with the Lord, I would start that way. I would simply say, Father, I want to reconnect with you. It's been a while since I felt maybe this closeness. Just pour out your heart to the Lord. The great thing about God is that he already knows your heart, Julie. Mm-hmm. So you don't That's have good. To use a lot of words. He already knows what you're trying to express. And I would say without giving yourself some strict, hard and fast parameters, just begin talking to the Lord. It's a conversation, just like Ray was saying, a relationship.
Here are two other suggestions I have. Number one, remember that the Bible is a book filled with prayers. The book of Psalms is a book of prayers.
That's right.
So you can pray the Psalms back to God, and that's something that you mentioned earlier in the program, or take the prayers of the Apostle Paul. So one thing is to go to the prayers of Scripture and learn them. Fill your mind with scriptural prayers, and you'll be praying in a godly way. Second, I find that when my prayer tank is empty, and there are times that I just empty.
Mm-hmm.
If I can get around praying Christians, I am greatly blessed sometimes just to be in a prayer circle and sit and listen to the prayers of godly people. Mm-hmm. It fills my heart. It warms me up. It builds faith. And so I would say one of the best things you could do, read the Bible and then get around praying people, listen to them. You'll learn to pray by being around people who pray.
When two or three are gathered.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's right.
I'll tell you what, we're coming up to a break, and Kathy in Arcadia, Louisiana,
yep.
If you'll hold on, we'll get to you right after the break. Our phone number is 1-800-844-8893, and everyone who calls and participates in the program today, we're going to send them a copy of the Shepherd's Book, the Shepherd's Prayer, and the Shepherd here is one of the shepherds who was in the field when Jesus was born, and this is like 30 years later, 32, 33 years later in his life. Interesting little book, The Shepherd's Prayer by Richard M. Barron. We'll be back right after this.
You're listening to Today's Issues with Marvin Sanders and Miki Addison. A copy of today's broadcast is available for a suggested donation of $10. To order, call 1-888-FAMILIES. That's 1-888-326-4543. To email your comments, go to comments@afr.net. Now back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back. I'm Marvin, along with Miki Addison in studio, and our guest, but he's not really our guest on Fireway Friday, Ray Pritchard.
Thank you, Marvin. Good to be here.
Good to see you.
Good to see you, Ray.
I should say that our other resident expert for Fireaway Friday, Kirby Anderson, is not able to be with us today, but hopefully that will not be the case next month, and Kirby will be here along with Ray, along with hopefully Tim and me. But we will also know that anytime either Tim or I can't be here, someone like Miki can just step in
and take over. That's right.
By doing so well.
Don't say that, Marvin. What Marvin will not say is that he's been training me, so maybe we should go to our next caller.
Well, he's done a great job.
Let's go to our next caller.
Okay, let's try Sandra. Sandra in Edwards, Mississippi. Are you there, Sandra?
Yes.
Do you have a question or a comment today?
Well, it's probably both.
Okay.
How y'all doing this morning?
We're
great.
Good.
How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Good.
I have a question. You're talking about prayer, and it's a lot of instances in the Bible where fasting accompanies prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And when Jesus' disciples couldn't heal the boy in Matthew chapter 17, and Jesus told, when they asked why couldn't they heal, cast the, out the demon, and he told them because of their faith, their little faith, unbelief rather. And also he said that this kind only comes through fasting and prayer.
So my question is, how do you fast? I hear a lot of people say you go without eating and drinking, and some people say you can fast by not looking at TV. But my understanding is eating and drinking.
Number one, fasting is a great biblical practice. It is one of the core spiritual disciplines of the Christian life. And in fact, if you look back over 2,000 years of church history, Christians of every variety have found fasting an important part of their relationship with God. To the specific question, I believe that fasting normally in the Bible means going without food for a period of time. You're not going to be able to fast very long if you go literally without food or water. You could go a number of days without food. You can't go very many days without water at all. So if someone is setting out on a major fast of a number of days, there's a point to be made for talking to your doctor and getting the medical advice about that. But the deeper point is that when you take time for fasting, you are saying, this is so important to me. This is so heavy on my heart, and I want to draw near to my Heavenly Father because He's got the answer I need. You're really saying, this thing that I'm praying about means more to me than a T-bone steak. It means more to me than having hamburgers. It means more to me than what I'm going to eat for supper. So it's a way of saying to yourself, this really matters. And I have found that when I have practiced fasting, that not only do prayers get answered, oftentimes the real change that happens is within my own heart.
Sure.
There's a purifying of motives. There's a focus. I'm able to pray with more clarity. Sometimes food just messes things up.
And there's a greater awareness of the divine. I mean,
sure.
The greater awareness of God's presence when you fast, because you're being constantly reminded in your body that you're hungry, or you're thirsty, or in some way your body's telling you that you're fasting.
Mm-hmm.
And every time you think I'm fasting, you also think I'm fasting for a reason, and that tends to refocus your attention.
So when you fast, you should focus on God and understand that what is being created in your heart is a deeper hunger to know God, to come mm-hmm. closer to Him. So it's not just a way to get your prayers answered. It's also a great vehicle into the heart of God. I think people who fast on a regular basis deepen their spiritual life more, generally speaking, than those who don't.
But I think she's right in that. I don't think anywhere in the Bible you find someone who is fasting from lentil soup,
right,
for a period of time. It's always all food, all water. I'm not challenging people in any way who do consider fasting from meat, or fasting from everything but juice, or fasting from fasting from watching television or listening to the radio or whatever. I'm not challenging that at all. I'm just saying that in the Bible, it was an all or nothing kind of thing.
Well, let's say this. I've done the going for 30 days without watching TV
mm-hmm.
and challenged our congregation a couple times to do that. And people thought I had lost my mind. It would have been easier to say fast a meal each day than to give up TV. All I think that does is it shows how deeply we are connected to this world. And when we give up something that is a part of this world to focus on God, we realize we're not as strong as we thought we were. And we learn again how desperately we need the Lord.
Yeah. Thank you for your call. Miki, who's next?
Let's go to Jane. I believe it's Dyersburg. Are you in Tennessee, Jane?
Yes.
How are you?
Great, thank you, and thanks for taking my call. I appreciate your radio program very much. I have a couple of things I wanted to say. First of all, Job was a very godly man, and he prayed for his children all the time. So I don't think we are doing wrong by repeating our prayer or our request to God. He knows what's in our heart.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to mouth the words. We can think of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And also on the fasting issue, I think we need to be careful, because people who are diabetics or have other health issues,
yes,
might feel so guilty if they can't fast without having food. that would be a health problem to them. So, you know, I think we need to be careful what we're recommending people do. We don't want to put a guilt complex on someone.
I was actually reminded, I think it was Daniel who did a fast, that he do no meats and no sweets, sort of like none of the, what do you call it, those indulgent foods.
Right.
I think, am I accurate in that? Mm-hmm. I was thinking of that while we were talking. So that there may be times that the Lord may call you to give up something different than maybe a complete meal.
You know,
yeah.
If you look at yourself and say, I'm spending too much time on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Which is something my wife might say. She might say that to me. In fact, she has said that to me sometimes.
Yours too, huh?
Yeah, that's they know us. Whether you call it a fast or not, if I decide for deeper purposes, I'm not going to get on the internet and I'm not going to do computer work for a week. Number one, that'd be a very hard thing for me to do. But number two, it would force me to reorder the priorities of my own life. Which is, that's part of what fasting is all about.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think anything that we do in excess that takes our time away from God is an idol. So we do have to be cautious about that, I think, too.
You are so right, Jane, and thank you so much for your call.
Thank you.
Let's try Marcy in Campbell, Texas. Marcy, are you there this morning?
Yes, I am.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I had an experience in a church that I went to in Fort Worth where we were having some healing being done.
Mm-hmm.
And I have rheumatoid arthritis really bad, and both hands were really knotted up. My left hand was raised up, and they were praying over me. And it was visibly seen the bones were going back into place. And I asked the Lord later why he didn't heal the entire body of it. And he said that it wasn't the right time. And he said, I healed the left hand so that each time you looked at it, you would have the faith when you were losing it.
Wow.
Wow.
And every time anybody has said anything about losing faith in prayer, I would tell them the story and show them my left hand and my right hand.
Wow.
So
right
you're saying your left hand was healed,
yes.
Your right hand was not.
That's right.
And is that still the condition today?
That's still the condition today.
Do you pray for healing for your right hand?
I sure do, and he says that he is going to heal me, but it's just not the right time that he's using me.
Hey, I don't have any problem with that story at all.
No, that's a great story.
He's God. We're not.
Right.
And the sovereignty of God has to be brought into the whole question of prayer. People ask me, can God work miracles today? Well, yes. Can he answer prayers immediately? Well, yes. Can he raise people up? Well, yes. Does he always do it the same way? And the answer is no. He's God and we're not. So we do the praying. God does the answering.
I have a question for you, Ray.
Sure.
How powerful are the prayers of the saints? Can we say change the mind of God? Can we, if God sets his mind on an outcome, can we change that outcome by prayer? Is prayer that potent?
Prayer is incredibly powerful. It is, I think, the most powerful force in all the universe because God, who is sovereign, let me see if I can say it this way. God has wired our prayers and his answers into his overall plan for the universe. That is to say that before we pray, God knows what we're going to do. Before we pray together, he knows exactly what we're going to say because he knows past, present, and future. He has already ordained, the answers to prayers that have not yet been prayed. That to me, Miki, means that we ought to get on our knees and start praying a whole lot more.
Sure.
Because when we pray together, or when we pray with great faith, even just by ourselves, that's one way that God is saying to the whole universe, I hear this, I'm going to answer this, and that answer has been part of my plan from the whole beginning. So if you're saying, can we literally change God's mind? Well, I think God doesn't change his mind in the way that we think of it, but he's ordained that our prayers are part of his plan to move his kingdom forward in this universe. And so we ought to be praying.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
That fuels prayer. Well, I asked that question earlier, Ray, because my mind, I was thinking about Hezekiah in 2 Kings chapter 20, where he is told that he's going to die. And he goes and he prays to the Lord, mm-hmm. and the Lord says, I've heard your prayer, and right. extends his life. And I'm thinking, how powerful is that to have, if you will, sort of a prognosis, you're going to die,
right.
and then to go to the Lord. And then the Lord, does he change his mind, or was he not going to take his life or suffer him to die in the beginning? Like, what's your take on that?
Well, the Bible does say God is not a man that he should change his mind. That's a quote from the Bible, meaning he doesn't change his mind the way you and I do, but you and I don't know the future
sure.
with absolute precision
That's
the
right.
way that God does. Hezekiah did not know when he prayed how God was going to answer. He went with a sincere prayer to the Lord, and the Lord answered and said, I'm going to, because of your prayer, I'm going to extend your life. Now, did God know about that prayer before Hezekiah prayed it? Sure. Did he know how he was going to answer it? Sure. And yet, in the living out of daily life, Hezekiah is the one who didn't know. And the truth is, we don't know either how God is going to answer our prayers. Mm-hmm. That, to me, means we ought to pray more mm-hmm. and not less, because you never know what God's going to do.
And in the extra time that God gave him, I think it's important to point out, in talking about what mm-hmm. God knows that we don't, in the extra time that God gave him, he fathered a son who turned out to be one of the worst kings that Israel ever had. So
wow.
so there. So
know.
There.
That Judah ever had.
So all we can say is we do the praying earnestly, fervently, sincerely. God does the answering. Is there a mystery to prayer? Sure, there's a mystery to prayer. But all that means is just keep on praying, because as Billy Graham has been quoted as saying, there are rooms in heaven filled with answers that no one on earth has thought to ask for. So that's the other side of it. Our God is more willing to answer than we understand. If we bring our prayers to him, he will hear us.
Okay. Well, let's go to another caller.
How about Rita in Poplarville, Mississippi? Rita, are you there?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
Go ahead.
We're so glad. Don't leave us, Rita.
I'm here.
Okay.
Yes. You have a question or comment?
I would like to ask the question about praying for someone that's really ill. We're praying for his healing. But it doesn't look too hopeful. So how should we pray for somebody that's dying? Do we pray for God's will or healing?
I think that is a deeply important question, because all of us have been there. We have,
yes.
all of us, people listening, we've all been right there. We've had a loved one. We've had a friend. We've had a family member who took ill. Maybe they got cancer, and we prayed fervently, and they died. When you are in the situation where someone is gravely ill, it is not wrong to pray for healing. I have prayed for healing for people on their deathbeds who later went on and died just within a day or two, because I did not know what God was going to do. I've
right.
prayed sometimes, and God has raised them up. People, and you know, you raised an interesting question there about saying the phrase, if it be thy will.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I always say that
mm-hmm.
because it's God's will that I want done. Maybe God has a bigger plan. Well,
yeah.
I shouldn't say maybe. God has a bigger
sure.
plan.
Yeah.
I only see one little part of it. And maybe God is going to glorify himself by not answering the prayer in the way that I prayed it. Because I, you know, we see through a glass darkly, or we see,
right.
see through a little keyhole. So I think it's good to pray in faith, believing, and then to say, Lord, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. That's
yeah.
the heart of true prayer.
Yeah.
And also, just a thought comes to mind, and I have a hard time dealing with this, especially when I pray for a loved one
mm-hmm.
who ultimately dies, mm-hmm. even though I'm praying that they be healed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm reminded of that song that was very popular a few years ago, Wayne Watson's great song, Home Free, and
mm-hmm.
Referring to the fact that the ultimate healing for a Christian is to be with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Well, heaven's not going to be half as bad as we think it is.
yeah.
It's just last night.
Mm-hmm.
Just last night, I was talking with a friend whose father has cancer, and he's, I think, 75 years old. And they've told him, we've treated you. The cancer is probably going to come back. And the father made an interesting comment, which I think is all true. He said, you know, we all believe in heaven. We want to go there. We just don't want to rush the process.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the biblical balance is we truly ought to pray for for healing. I have seen yes. God answer in amazing ways. And then when God chooses not to answer that, to understand heaven's a wonderful place.
Sure.
And there's not going to be complete healing until we stand in the presence of the Lord.
Let's go to our next caller. Thanks for your call, by the way. Next caller is
Keith in Jackson, Tennessee. Keith, are you there?
Hi, Keith.
Hey, how are y'all doing?
Doing great.
Well. Doing great.
Wonderful.
Go ahead with your call.
I just wanted to tell you, I absolutely love listening to your program when I get a chance, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to share with you for a moment.
Okay, we're getting close to the end of the program, so we'll have to make it quick.
Okay, I just wanted to make a quick comment. The deal about praying, repeatedly
yes.
on a certain issue,
right.
the relational issue that y'all spoke about, I think if you put those two together, I mean, it comes out to where you really need to pray repeatedly. Because God wants us as His children to bring all things to Him in prayer, everything that's on our heart. That's what He desires of us. And, if we pray for something and it continues to be on our heart, to be obedient, we really need to pray about it again every time it comes upon our heart. And we feel a need, we need to pray about it, and we just need to continue to share that if we have that right relationship with God. And I think it just seems to be a requirement from my point of view.
Beautifully well said, Keith. Prayer is not a ritual. Prayer is a relationship. Prayer is all about talking to God. And so, Miki, when we pray, we pour, and you said it beautifully earlier, we pour out our hearts to God.
Sure.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah, I agree
Thanks
with you.
Thanks for your call, Keith. Maybe we can squeeze in one more very quick call. Who's next?
Doug in Windsor, North Carolina. Doug, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead, Doug.
We only have about 30 seconds.
Okay, I just want to make a comment. I want to my pastor preached a message a while back, and he talked about how to pray, and I believe we need to, first of all, our Lord's Prayer. Mm-hmm. It's our Father which art in heaven, and we need to lift His name up high, and then that His will be done, and then we can pray for things that we want to give us this day our daily bread and for forgiveness.
Yeah.
I think we need to, if we do it that order, outline that prayer, I believe we can see great things done.
Good way to close
great
the program. Thank
in.
You so yeah. much for that. Well, Ray, it's been a pleasure.
Thanks
for coming
very
in. We'll see
Thank
you again
you,
next month. First
Good.
Friday. Well, I'll have to look at the calendar, but anyway.
We'll
Fire
be
Away
here.
Friday, we'll be here.
That's
Miki,
right.
good job.
Thanks, Marvin. Yeah. Appreciate you.
And to you, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching on the Internet. And we'll be back on Monday.